You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Garibaldi at Squamish ski resort proposal has seen its challenges since its inception in 2003. It aims to develop Brome Ridge, located 13 kilometers north of Squamish, into a modern ski resort over a 15-year period. But last month, the BC Environmental Assessment Office withdrew its support for the Garibaldi at Squamish proposal, which is also known as the GAS proposal, due to outstanding concerns about water supply. The resort municipality of Whistler also expressed dissatisfaction with how GAS has addressed water consumption for the development project. Catherine Jackson is an activist with Save Garibaldi, and they have been raising concerns about the development proposal since 2007, and she joins me on the phone now. Welcome, Catherine.
Yeah, thank you very much.
What are the water concerns with regards to this proposal?
Yeah, the concerns around water supply, their own consultants, Urban Systems, produced a report based on water collection data that they'd done over the last year, and the proposal was to build five reservoirs to supply the water supply for 22,000 bed units and visitors and ski hill and two golf courses. This is a really dry, rocky hillside, and they have to rely on surface water. So the five reservoirs would be filled from water from Brome Creek, which is the only it's the main water system on that hillside. So their proposal was to withdraw water in the main freshet season, which is between May and June, and fill these reservoirs. And that would supply the water for the whole year for this resort and all the people living there. So, the Environmental Assessment Office were concerned because the report from Urban Systems showed that the reservoirs would only supply one-tenth of the supply that they needed by their own figures. So it had some very confusing statements, but it was possible to review the consultant's report and realized that there was a huge shortfall of water according to their own figures.
So were they simply trying to get something through, recognizing that they wouldn't have enough water, or were they hoping that they could extract water elsewhere?
Well, this is still a mystery. We don't know what the real plan was. They must have known that from their consultant's report there wasn't enough there. So what other second idea they had that, you know, that they haven't shared with anyone is we can only speculate, but there's no groundwater reserves there. We know that. It's a very dry, rocky hillside, so it can only be through surface water, and that's the Brome Creek watershed. And in terms of water, the concerns are that the Brome Creek is a really, really highly productive steelhead trout creek, and it's very, very unique because it has, because of historic volcanic activity in the area, it has a really high level of phosphates in the creek that create the right environment for bugs to thrive that steelhead trout love. And so we have a really high population of steelhead trout there that supply the local fishery. So an independent report from Pat Slaney showed that this was an incredibly huge resource and the crown jewel for the province for steelhead trout. And the Ministry of Environment themselves wrote some very serious concerns about the proponents' plan to withdraw water at the freshet season, which is when the migration for the steelhead trout would happen.
And are there other animal populations in the area that are dependent on that water as well?
We do know that it's a really high wildlife area, yes. I mean, and there's actually 14 red and blue listed at-risk species that could possibly live in this habitat. So, the water would be supplying wildlife on the whole ridge.
Mm-hmm. I understand as well, though, that the GAS proposal contains some plans that they said would minimize the impact on wildlife habitat. What do you think of of their suggestions that they could actually not have much impact on the wildlife?
Well, that is it's difficult to imagine that a development of this scope would not have any impact on existing wildlife. They propose to build 5,700 housing units and 98 kilometers of road. There's two phases, the construction phase and then the built-out phase, what kind of impact that would have on wildlife. So in both phases, there would be huge impact. In the construction phase, some noise and destruction of habitat, and then once it's built out, you'd have habitat loss permanently, and you'd have increased conflict between human and wildlife activity in the area. We know that there's cougars and black bear in the area, and like I said, 14 red and blue listed species, including grizzly bear, wolverine, spotted owl, marbled murrelet. And so for the grizzly bear, for example, they've suggested they would, to mitigate impacts, they would donate $33,000 towards the grizzly bear population recovery unit, which this area is a part of. But really, it's hard to see that would have much of an impact on recovering the grizzly bear populations. What grizzly bear populations really need is just to have the space and to be left alone. So another example of what they were planning to do to mitigate environmental concerns were at each phase development for each location, because there's several kind of isolated villages and subdivisions along the ridge. What they would do before going into each location is look around for any wildlife in the area and wait. So it's hard to imagine that adjoining construction and disruption would, wolverines would be hanging around waiting to be found before, they would scatter. They really need isolation. And they do thrive in Garibaldi Park, which is adjacent there. So,
I know that there's a real estate component with this, and whenever I hear of real estate components and developments, I go flash, flash, flash with my eyes. What's the nature of their real estate component?
Well, part of their business plan is that they have to build a substantial portion of real estate in order to finance the ski resort. So, in its first incarnation, this proposal was more what people would expect, which is a small family ski hill could possibly be feasible on a ridge like that. But this is actually 5,700 housing units, and it's not just a small ski family, family ski hill. It's a huge scope. It takes up the whole ridge, and they plan to house 22,000 people there, bed units. So they have the Ministry of Tourism, Culture and the Arts have a way of calculating how many housing units you can build based on the kind of services that you're providing, and so they've actually put lots and lots of lifts in, excessive amounts of lifts, in order to increase the calculation of housing units allowed. With this kind of business model, where the infrastructure for the ski hill and maybe even the ongoing operation of the ski hill is justified by real estate, it raises concerns about how much real estate would need to be continued to be developed. This isn't part of our official community plan that the community has spent many years giving input into, and it's a very meaningful policy for our town. This is a plan from people that are outside of our community that have their own interests at heart and haven't consulted with us at all in the development of the plan. So, in contrast, if you look at the oceanfront development plan, which is planned for within town on a brownfield site that used to be industrial land, the community have been behind it for and planning it for a number of years, and everyone's very excited about that, and it's a 20-year phase development plan, and that is a lot more in keeping with the principles of our official community plan, which is incorporating smart growth principles, where housing and growth happens in a more kind of dense format so that servicing and community services are a lot easier to facilitate.
When you're referring to community, I assume you're referring to the Squamish community.
Yeah, because this is 15 kilometers north of Squamish, and so that is another concern about the housing component, that it's sprawl. A lot of it would be along the highway itself rather than on the ridge. There'd be two golf courses surrounding our beautiful lakes there. It's seen as an excuse, really, for just sprawl along the highway heading north, and that's completely away from our town center, which is where we're encouraging further development to go in terms of, you know, incorporating our smart growth.
Well, this week the Squamish Council unanimously rejected the gas application for a water license, so that gives a sense of what you're saying of the community rejecting this kind of a project. What's the significance of that decision?
Well, the council had asked their engineering department to review the water license application as part of the water application. It's necessary for the District of Squamish to have some input, and it's my understanding that the chief engineer found that there were some serious holes in their strategy in terms of water license and whether there'd be enough volume for what they're considering there. So it's more of a technical nature that the water license was turned down on, that there just simply is not the water there. And this has been an ongoing issue in previous proposals on the same location for smaller development of a ski hill. So, and it's quite interesting that the proponents went ahead with the water license application before even receiving an environmental assessment certificate, which actually has a more comprehensive review of water supply factors and make sure that any water supply or withdrawal wouldn't affect the environment, whereas the water licenses doesn't have any public input, for example. It doesn't have any public comment, and it's a lot less rigorous. So it's quite sneaky that the proponents applied for a water license before even being granted an environmental assessment certificate.
With all these negative decisions towards the proposal, does that mean it's dead in the water?
Unfortunately not, because, it's still at the Environmental Assessment Office, and since all these negative replies for the Environmental Assessment Office have shown significant concerns. The District of Squamish have significant concerns. The Squamish-Chilliwack Regional District have significant concerns, and the Resort Municipality of Whistler have significant concerns. So even with all of these concerns, and it doesn't seem that the province itself is very much behind this project, it still is at the Environmental Assessment Office and can be it hasn't gone away. It's still within the process and can be given an environmental assessment certificate if they come out with any answers to the water supply. So I think it's really important for us to know the facts and be vigilant, and for everyone to look out for the area that we all use, including Vancouverites. I know that many Vancouverites come and visit the area for the lakes, the beautiful swimming there and camping, and use it for, you know, mountain biking and walking there as well. So, I think it's important for all of us to be vigilant and look out to see what happens next, because whatever they do come up with, it would be very surprising if they could show that all of a sudden there was enough water from somewhere that would supply all those people.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine, for sharing this information, alerting us to the issues, and best of luck in keeping the natural environment as it presently is.
Okay, thank you very much for your interest in this subject, Mordecai.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Catherine Jackson. She's an activist with Save Garibaldi, and they've been raising concerns about the development proposal since 2007.